There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, what a Tuesday it is, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile, live local talk for the next couple hours. Glad you're along. Phone number, text line, 343-0106, 343-0106. We're going to go to Capitol Hill here shortly as the House Committee holds its last hearing on before the tomorrow's impeachment vote. It's like on the rules of the vote that's happening. So we'll get to that here in just a couple minutes, plus Mobile City Council meeting going on. I know they talked about the moon pie over Mobile. Looks like it's on. Everything's good with that. Also, a discussion of Amtrak. Remember, Amtrak possibly coming with a passenger service to Mobile. They'll talk about that. And it's a, let's see what report here. John Sharp had said Amtrak's return to Mobile will be determined in the next couple of weeks. A decision is needed by December 31st on whether to provide a three-year commitment of $3 million under a worst-case scenario. Talk about that coming up. And in hour number two of the show, my buddy Abe Harper is going to join us with Harper Technologies. Pensacola cyber attack, New Orleans cyber attack, Edwards, Mississippi cyber attack. They're held ransom right now. Held ransom, not just business municipalities now that are being held ransom. Like Pensacola, and I'm sure it's the same for New Orleans, can't operate their basic city functions because they have been hacked and been taken over. And what about that? How is that happening? How are they hitting municipalities now? And what does that mean for us with businesses or personal accounts or all that? Abe does this stuff every day. I think it was Pensacola spent like $140,000 right now to get a group in to try to break this lockdown of their city services. What does that mean for businesses and all that? We'll talk about that with Abe Harper coming up in hour number two of the show. So that's on the way, and we'll get into a little bit of what happens today and then what happens tomorrow in the House. Although I do want to jump for a second and talk Senate, because this is a question I've asked of Senator Doug Jones, and I'm not the only one. And people were asking yesterday, how will Senator Doug Jones vote on removal of the president? Remember, this will go, these articles of impeachment will leave the House, they'll go to the Senate, and what will be the vote? I mean, we could probably guess the vote for Senator Shelby, right? So he's going to be no on removal, but how will Doug Jones, the Democrat, vote? Sounds like he's answered kind of like he did to me the other day, but adding a little more to it. He was interviewed by CBS 42 in Birmingham and said he has not made a decision on impeachment yet. Now, that's the same answer he gave me. But then he added, the impeachment inquiry is going to hurt the country. Now, is there a tell there? Is there a tell to that? Is he just saying what is politically expedient? Or is he setting something up down the road here to make it okay for him to be a no vote as well? Now, the story says Senator Jones said impeachment. He said anyone who's opposing impeachment, he said he's concerned that people are already making up their mind, not listening to the facts. The process is too partisan. But we'll see where this goes. So the additional information beyond what he had told me in the past when he was on the show, when he said, I'm not going to make a decision yet, I need to hear all the information. Information's out there now. And he is adding to that, the impeachment inquiry is going to hurt the country. So I don't know if that's a tell going forward on this vote or not, but that's the next new piece of information I've heard from our senator, one of our senators, Doug Jones. All right, so we'll hopefully get him on. Hopefully get him on this week. I hope to. Now, we were supposed to talk to Congressman Bradley Byrne today in this hour to talk about the impeachment proceedings, and I got a note here that he is. Let's see. I guess they're taking votes right now. Yeah, they have votes going on right now. Maybe we can get him on the show tomorrow. But I guess these votes are what we're talking about now as they're working through kind of the rules surrounding how tomorrow's vote will go down. Right? So rules about votes, something like that. Also, speaking of the impeachment proceedings, a story from AL.com, John Sharp filed, said more than 500 rallies in support of impeachment are planned today across the U.S. I know one of them was going to be focused on Congressman Byrne. They said including four in deep red Alabama, where President Donald Trump remains popular with a majority of residents. The Nobody's Above the Law rallies have been in the planning stages for weeks and were scheduled to occur on the eve of the U.S. House vote on impeachment. That's set to occur Wednesday, and the rallies are scheduled to take place in every state. The Alabama rallies in Birmingham, Huntsville, Montgomery, and Mobile are set to occur at 5:30 p.m. All right, a quote here from Linda Fisher, a Prattville resident and organizer of the rally that will take place at the state capitol in downtown Montgomery, said, "Our rally will demonstrate the level of support that impeachment has across the nation." I can't wait to see the numbers for Alabama. These will be compared to other states, I think they will be poorly attended. She also added, "With this rally, we are hoping to send a message to the House and Senate that our representatives need to listen to the people." I think they are in Alabama. "Even if the House votes to impeach, many members of the Senate have already declared that their minds are made up to support the president no matter what evidence is presented," end quote. So here's where you, locally, if you're attending this rally here, Nobody's Above the Law rally, the RSA Tower in downtown Mobile. So 5:30 this afternoon, RSA Tower, that's where the protest... Will somebody get... I am booked. I've got a thing to do at 5:30. Would you, if you're down there, would you take your smartphone, take a little video? Let me see what the turnout is looking like down there. All right. Coming right back, we'll take you to Washington, a little bit of House Committee holding their last hearing. This is the last thing they get to do before they vote. We'll go to that coming up in just minutes. News from WKRG next.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right. 1218 FM Talk 106.5. Midday Mobile. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Speaking of which, I just got a text from Jason. Said, "Just missed the announcement about the rally. Could you repeat?" Yeah, so this is this rally. It's called the, let me go back here, Nobody's Above the Law rally, right? And these are 500 rallies scheduled. I like this. So John Sharp put the story at AL.com. More than 500 rallies in support of impeachment are planned Tuesday across the United States. So there are 500 rallies. Let's do the math here. There's 500 rallies. There are 50 states. We are below average because there are four in Alabama. If you would average it out among the states, four in Alabama. And the one for our area, so there's four. So you've got Madison County Courthouse in Huntsville, Lynn Park in Birmingham, and State Capitol in downtown Montgomery. And here in Mobile, the RSA Tower. Okay? So, Jason, to answer your question, RSA Tower, downtown Mobile, 5:30 this afternoon is this rally, the Nobody's Above the Law rally in support of impeachment. I like this. So it's a rally in support of impeachment. And down here in the interview, let's see. So John talked to Linda Fisher, a Prattville resident and organizer of the rally. Said, "With this rally, we're hoping to send a message to the House and Senate that our representatives need to listen to the people. Even if the House votes to impeach, many members of the Senate have already declared that their minds are made up to support the president no matter what evidence is presented," end quote. Go back to the beginning here. These are rallies in support of impeachment. Okay, so the rallies are in support of impeachment, but the supporters said, "Even if the House votes to impeach, many members of the Senate have already declared that their minds are made up." Sounds like there's two peas in a pod here. Linda, it sounds like a lot of... Although, from what I've seen out there, Lord knows everybody seems to have their minds made up. And what's going on in Washington may not be going to sway people one way or another. By the way, no Republicans are planned to vote in support of impeachment in the House tomorrow. The rallies are also occurring in Alabama, where polling suggests that President Trump remains popular. According to a Morning Consult poll, 59% of Alabama residents support the job the president's doing, 37% disapprove. Now, so let me just go back here to number one, for Linda Fisher to say that the people have already made their minds up. It sounds like so is she, right, in this case. And number two here that I think is of interest, 59% of Alabama residents in that Morning Consult poll, and I'm going to tell you, I have a gut feeling that's low. I think it's probably in the 60s somewhere, but fine, we'll go with 59% support the president. And she says here, with this rally, we're hoping to send a message to the House and the Senate that our representatives need to listen to the people. Well, I mean, I'm just a hayseed here, you know, guy from the Gulf Coast, but I would argue then if they did listen to the people, then they would support the president if they're representatives from Alabama, if 59% support the president. I mean, maybe I'm reading the math wrong here. Maybe you can help me. 343-0106, if you can help me understand that. Maybe we'll do that. Go to the phones. You want me to take some? Okay, we'll take some calls here. I do want to get to a little bit of the audio, what's going on in this House meeting here as they're trying to figure out the rules for tomorrow's vote. Let's go to Chris in Mobile. Hey, Chris.
Hey, John. Hey, I just want to tell all these people going to the rally, you know,
how many
these,
of them?
These Trump Democrats, friends of mine that hate Trump, they need to pace themselves because they got 5 years.
So you think for sure the president's going to get reelected?
Sure, I believe so. I mean, what's our alternative? There is no alternative.
You know, you look at that USA Today poll that came out today. Now, y'all, this is one poll. I don't put all my stock in one poll. But it does show President Trump beating every individual Democrat candidate that's on the ticket. Every one of them that wants to be the nominee, they did a head-to-head, and he beats each one of them.
Well, if you hate Trump, I understand. But look, realistically, I don't care if you're a Democrat, I don't care if you're a Republican, independent. You look at what Trump has accomplished, what he's planning to do, and what these other parties are going to plan on, or other candidates think they're going to succeed at. Where would that leave our country? Period. There is no alternative but Trump.
There we go. Chris, appreciate your call. I am interested to see the number of people that turn out for this anti... Well, I'm going to call it an anti-Trump rally. That's what it is. It may be framed in being called the Nobody's Above the Law rally, but that's what it is, anti-Trump rally. Be interesting. And once again, this is not rhetorical. There'll be some in this business who go, there'll be nobody. I don't know. Maybe there'll be a big turnout. What I want is somebody to show me. I want to see evidence here. Take your smartphone cameras. 5:30 RSA. I guess on the steps, that'd be on the Water Street side there. And send me some video. Send me a picture. Let me see how many people show up for that. So it's Mobile, Birmingham, Huntsville, and Montgomery where they're having these rallies. Okay, so that's going on. Somebody's saying they'll be okay. If you'll be down there, you happen to be working down there, you could just kind of stroll by, just be cool, stroll by, take a little videos. Let me see what it looks like, and then send that to me. You can send it to me on Twitter at FM Talk 1065, or you could do it to email Sean, SEAN, at FMTalk1065.com. Hey, let me take a second as we talk about FMTalk1065.com. That, oddly enough, lucky for us, that's the name of our website. And if you go there right now, we are in our Alabamian of the Year. Dalton just showed me AL.com rolled out an Alabamian of the Year. We've been doing this. We stole this from Time Magazine 3 years ago. I mean, we stole it well, but we've been doing this a long time. But the difference is here, y'all, at AL.com, they come up with the suggestions the way Time Magazine does. We think differently around here. Y'all nominated the people to be in the running here for Alabamian of the Year. Let me quickly just go back and do a little remedial on this. Number one, it's a person, a place, a group, a critter. Could be a handful. It's what that thing, that entity that most moved the needle, most moved the news cycle in Alabama in 2019. So it can be a thing, it can be a person, and it doesn't always have to be for the positive. It can be positive or negative. Of course, I lean to the sunny side of the road, and hopefully it's positive, but not, you know, it doesn't have to be. It could be a negative thing. So y'all nominated all these things, went into the mix, and we started the voting yesterday. And that bracket, I would say yesterday, is more of your Montgomery politics bracket. And so y'all vote. And the two that each day, four go up and two move on. And the two that moved on yesterday were, what, number one, surprisingly, not the two that moved on, but how the ranking went, that the lottery got more votes than the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project and the toll. Just by a percentage point or two, Lotto beat the toll, but those two moved on. Now, today, if you go to the front page of FMTalk1065.com, on the right-hand side, you'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo, and right underneath that, where we usually have our online opinion poll question for the rest of this month, it's where you go to vote in our Alabamian of the Year. And it says, Alabamian of the Year, first round voting, top two vote getters move into second round. First round bracket, number two of five. Today, your choices from the sports world and other worlds. Bruce Pearl, of course, Auburn head coach, basketball, went to the Final Four. Tua Tagovailoa and Hoyt Hutchinson. If you don't know the name Hoyt Hutchinson, remember remember at the Alabama-LSU game when they came with the baby Trump balloon? I want to point that's a side note, too. When they came with the baby Trump balloon and it was slashed, that Hoyt Hutchinson was the guy who did that, okay? And also the meth squirrel, if you remember, this attack squirrel that was on methamphetamines up in North Alabama that made the news cycle for probably a couple weeks, that's on the list as well. So you vote for one of those, and the top two from this division will move on, and two will stay behind. Now, I was going to say, though, let's point out that back to the rallies and the question, you know, I think this in the story John Sharp had up, that the organizer here, the organizer Linda Fisher, of the events here in Alabama, Nobody's Above the Law rallies, said she wanted the House and Senate members to listen to the people. Okay, I pointed out that even that morning consult poll showed 59% support for the president here in Alabama. Let me add to this, the only two places I think, and Dalton, if I'm wrong here, but we talked about it this morning, the only two places somebody has slashed the baby Trump balloon is in London, which, by the way, just they voted for Boris Johnson, right? And a pretty conservative populist movement there in England, and the state of Alabama. So the only place the Trump balloon has been sliced, in other words, and you understand how it works, right? The Trump balloon making fun of President Trump, and some, you know, people take offense to that, so they go slice it so it deflates. I think the whole thing's kind of silly on both sides, but the only place in the United States that that's happened is in Alabama. So back to having the elected representatives of the House and our two senators listen to the people of Alabama. You know, if you might get cut with those scissors, Linda. I mean, if it's you really want them listening to the people of Alabama, I think the message is out there that they would probably be on board for, number one, if they're in the House, not voting to move these articles of impeachment out. And if they're one of the two senators, they would be for not removing the president. Just thought I'd offer that into the mix. Okay? I mean, if you're looking at those stats, if you're sitting there and you make your decisions based on what you think your constituents want back home, whether you have a rally or not, what the constituents say, those that don't show up at rallies, what they're saying is support the president. So it might be a dangerous rhetorical question to put out there. Just thought I'd offer that. Just words to sip very slowly. All right, we come back from the break. We'll go to Washington and get the latest on this House committee, their last hearing before the impeachment vote. You know how this vote's going to go down. This is all a bunch of kabuki theater going on beforehand. Democrats, I guess the only real question is how many Democrats will defect and not vote for the articles of impeachment, or try to vote yes on one, no on the other. I don't know if the middle of the road will help them, because these are Democrats that won as Democrats, but in districts that President Trump won. So they've got a lot of heat on them, how they'll vote tomorrow. And then, of course, it goes to the Senate. And the secondary question is, what kind of hearing will we have in the Senate for these articles of impeachment? Will it be a fast track to move it on through, or will it be like Schumer and others want, a slower, more deliberate process in the Senate? All right, get that audio when we get back. We'll check in with Dr. Bill, get an update on our forecast. I'll tell you that it's cooled off, 20-some-odd degrees since this morning. It's going to get even colder tonight. Dr. Bill has details on that, and we'll check in with Westwood One News next.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 1236 FM Talk 106.5, and it is Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. I'm glad to have you along, and lots to talk about today. I was going to stay focused on Washington, but they broke their meeting there, and the committee is going to resume the hearing discussion a little bit later. So will we. Also coming up next hour, like I mentioned, Abe Harper, Harper Technologies, is going to join us. So you look at Pensacola, you look at New Orleans and other municipalities that have been hacked. Pensacola News Journal had reported that the city of Pensacola had hired global professional services company Deloitte for $140,000 to evaluate the extent of the cyber attack that began December 7th on the city's computer systems. Wow. And that is just trying to get back to where they were. Now, New Orleans, I don't know what they're doing yet in other cities, but we'll talk about that coming up next hour. Actually, let me check in with our buddy John Sharp from AL.com. I was mentioning him earlier. Hey, John, at the city council meeting today, did they talk about what would happen to Mobile if we got taken over by a cyber attack in Mobile?
No, that didn't come up today.
Well, they missed out because I'm looking around. It's New Orleans, it's Pensacola. Guess what's in between those two places?
Yeah, that's true. But no, that did not come up. It was even mentioned today. It was quite festive today. We had a Christmas meeting at the one meeting of the year they have at the old city hall. So no talks about cyber attacks did not come up today at the city council meeting.
But they did have time to talk about the moon. You said the moon pie, everything is on for the moon pie drop.
Yeah, unless a hurricane hits, according to Councilman Richardson. So keep that in mind.
Okay. So less a hurricane, we're good.
Right, that's correct. Now, the big story that came out of today's meeting was the latest on bringing Amtrak back to Mobile. There is a proposal out there now for the city council to consider. It would be an appropriation over the course of 3 years that would not start until the year 2023. That is kind of the idea of when the Amtrak would return back to Mobile potentially. This would be a proposal that would put Mobile on the line to cover some of the operational costs. And according to the Southern Rail commissioners that were at today's council meeting, that would be up to potentially $3 million maximum is what they're talking about putting a cap at. Now, the exact specifics of the financial arrangement there would probably not be determined quite yet. There is a council committee meeting on Thursday to take this up, but time is of essence here because the grant, this federal grant, needs to be matched by January 6th. So the Southern Rail commissioners want the Mobile City Council to vote on whether or not they will provide a local match to this grant by New Year's Eve. The next council meeting is on New Year's Eve day.
Well, okay, so $3 million, you said, a three-year commitment of $3 million under the worst-case scenario. What does that mean?
That means that ridership is very low, very poor, and the ticket costs are we're charging $15 to go one way to, or $18 to go one way to New Orleans. Under a scenario that, according to the Southern Rail Commissioners, is more likely, where the ticket prices are going to be around $30, That would include the ticket price and then whatever you buy on board the train. And that would be one way between Mobile and New Orleans. And they're estimating a ridership of around 80,000 people. They're talking that the commitment would be much lower, something around 300,000 a year, starting in year one, which would be again in the year 2023. So this is not money that would have to be removed from one pot of funding currently and placed into something else. It would be something that the city would budget for 3 years out. So we're kind of, we'll see what the council has to say. Again, the Finance Committee's meeting Thursday at 3:30 to go over this proposal.
Okay, you and I, how long have we talked about train service, passenger train service to Mobile? It's been many moons, right, John?
Yeah, that's correct. There's been a lot to take in on this, but this seems to be the situation. You know, we've talked for a while where, you know, the governor had concerns based on, the operations of bringing a train through, the Port of Mobile, based on concerns raised by Jimmy Lyons and the Port Authority. Where we're at right now is we're taking a kind of the state out of the equation, and this is coming back down to the local level, whether or not the city is willing to provide some financing for the operations of this service.
Okay, I mean, because you're right, I mean, to bring up the state angle, because I thought last time we talked about it, it was that Governor Ivey missed some deadline or didn't sign off on what would be the state match or something that meant we got money, right? Wasn't it in the state hands at some point?
Yeah, that's been about 2 years ago, and then things have kind of been massaged and reintroduced now, and where we're at right now is both Mississippi and Louisiana, which would be, they're having to appropriate much more than Alabama is for this service. Their appropriations have already been identified. Learned today that Mississippi's using a portion of their Restore Act money to finance the operations of this service. So my understanding is there's already some capital work going on the train tracks in Mississippi and Louisiana in preparation for this service to return. In Alabama, it's been a little bit more difficult because the state really is not interested in making a commitment right now, as we can tell. So,
that's because of the port, right? I mean, that's the port doesn't want it.
Because of the port's views on it and the governor's office's views on it. The governor has come out specifically and said, she's had concerns, about the operations interfering with the port. Now, I think a lot of the concerns had to do with the location of the train station being downtown Mobile and how would that interfere with operations. Now the new location for the train station would be at Brooklee, and it seems to be the mayor's administration, Mayor Sandy Stimp's administration, seems to be interested in that potential possibility of having a train station located in very close proximity to where they're looking at moving commercial air service to in the not-so-distant future, which would be down at Brooklee. And to them, it's kind of appealing. You have kind of a synergy there of passenger rail connected to a new airport. And so that's kind of where the conversations are going there. So we're not talking about a train station per se in downtown Mobile anymore, although, there might be a couple council members that might be interested in that conversation going forward. But it seems to be right now the interest is at Brooklee. But for the sake of what we're talking about right now, a train station isn't even part of the conversation. I know this gets complicated, but what we're ultimately looking at is the operations of this service, paying for any deficits of it, any shortcomings starting the year 2023, and looking at worst case scenarios and where the council might cap their dedication for this service and that sort of thing. And that's all going to be discussed again on Thursday. That's a finance committee at 3:30.
Okay, so I mean, the way I understand it, what you've reported over the years, this move to Brooklee should take away any issues that the governor's office or the port has, right? I mean, that should not be an issue anymore.
Potentially, but then again, it is still, the scheduling could still be an issue. I know there's still concerns from, from Mr. Lyons. He's had concerns about usage of this service, who's actually going to use the train from Mobile to New Orleans. He's had concerns. He's expressed, and he's been quoted in the past as saying that not, completely certain of folks from New Orleans coming to Mobile.
Right.
He's pretty certain of folks from Mobile going to New Orleans. So he's raised those concerns before, and those concerns are still out there. I did talk to Dave Clark with the Convention Visitors Bureau today, Visit Mobile, and he indicated that there could be international travelers coming in from New Orleans that they would like to take that service to Mobile and utilize that train service, and and that there is plenty of opportunities there. So anyway, they're looking at a ridership potentially of a little over 80,000 per year, and if you consider that $30 per expenditure cost on the train one way, they're thinking that the appropriation wouldn't be much lower than the $3 million. The dedication from the City of Mobile would be much lower than the $3 million over the course of 3 years.
But you're saying that would be, in essence, a subsidy, right? A subsidy just to keep the train operating. Like you said, that's not about building some facility, train station at Brooklee.
Yeah, you're correct. That would be essentially the local match on a federal grant for operations.
The problem is I think a lot of people react to it this way, that they don't feel like it's ever going to happen, right? We've discussed this so many times, it almost seems like, yeah, well, something's going to happen, something's going to, pun intended, I guess, derail this thing.
I think there's some skepticism. This has been discussed for quite some time. It hasn't been, the Southern Rail Commission hasn't abandoned this project at all. The City of Mobile essentially hasn't abandoned it. I mean, it's one of those things that's been out there for a while. It has not been declared as dead by any bureaucrat. So I know a lot of people are skeptical, but it is still out there. It's still, every step is a step towards the potential of its reality, and that's kind of where we're at right now. And I think ultimately this is going to be up to the Mobile City Council to decide, if they want to dedicate a certain amount of appropriations over a three-year period for it to operate. This is essentially Mobile's moment to decide whether or not it wants this service.
I mean, so if Mobile doesn't step up to do this, John, does the train, because you said Mississippi and Louisiana are already well ahead with this, would the train run between, Pascagoula and New Orleans, but it wouldn't go no further than Pascagoula?
That's the potential. Is that exactly what will happen? I'm not sure. I know there'd be a lot of disappointment because from the folks from the Southern Rail Commission, because the whole objective all along has been to connect two fairly large cities together, New Orleans and Mobile. Pascagoula is not Mobile. And so ultimately they want to move this train, and Amtrak, they're wanting to place more of a focus on some of these regional routes, these routes that cater more towards a particular region than the long distance train routes that everybody is used to, and they're looking at this particular route along the Gulf Coast as a prime example of what they want to do, and their whole vision all along has been to connect New Orleans with Mobile.
And of course, I'd say there's additional pressure if people from New Orleans want to eventually, I know we've talked about the eastern side of this before, if you want to dream about getting somebody in New Orleans getting on a train and going to Disney, going down to Orlando, that would mean Alabama's in the mix.
That's correct, but that would take more negotiations. We're not talking about that right now. And again, there's those concerns of taking the train through the Port of Mobile and connecting up to Atmore, and I know there's some difficult, my understanding there might be some difficult infrastructure issues along that route as well, and then you have to connect into Florida, so we've still got a ways to go before we even start talking about connecting to Disney.
Alright, well, a boy can dream, man, a boy can dream. Once again, so this will be Thursday, Finance Committee meets, and will this be them giving a recommendation to the council, or will they have some final say in this meeting on Thursday?
No, this is a committee meeting, so there is no final say. The final say comes with the full council, but you'll get a kind of an idea. I'm assuming this takes 5 votes, and so it'll be interesting to see if there's more than 3 defectors, and that could be a problematic for this a vote on the 31st, but. Anyway, we'll get some sort of idea exactly what the city's looking at financially as far as how this would affect the city going forward. I talked to Paul West today. He indicated that they could be using this could be capital money coming out of the capital budget. And we're not talking until about 2023. Of course, the city could set aside a small amount next year to apply going forward for the service. That all is going to be discussed, exactly how they want to handle potentially the financing of this on Thursday.
All right. As always, John, we appreciate your insight to what's happening down in Council, Mobile City Council today. And by the way, too, are you going to, I saw your story about these these rallies, these protest rallies going on today in support of impeachment. You've got one 5:30 at the RSA?
Yeah, there's one here downtown Mobile at 5:30. There's four of them in Alabama. These are going on throughout the country. I mean, they've been in the planning stages for a while now. I've been getting press releases for the last several weeks about, hey, you know, we're planning this kind of rally in Mobile. It'll occur on the eve of the impeachment vote. We just don't know exactly what day that would be. Well, now that we know that which day that's going to be, it's going to be tonight. So, yeah, there'll be a rally. I think it starts at 5:30. I don't think any of these are supposed to last beyond 6:30. So that's going to be going on today at the RSA Tower.
All right, John, we appreciate the update, and we'll check back with you real soon.
All right, John, thanks.
As always, great talking to John Sharp, AL.com. And we're coming right back. More of Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. And next hour, so they got Pensacola, they got New Orleans, they got, I think, even Edwards, Mississippi. They got hit by a tornado, too. Hackers taking over city government infrastructure, I mean, or their digital infrastructure. What can be done to stop this? It didn't even come up in the Mobile City Council meeting. And here it is. We're framed in by Pensacola and New Orleans on this. Wow.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
I mean, Christmas has come early. Holy cow. This. Some hand-cut bacon. My buddy Jim just dropped this off. Vacuum sealed. This is gold right here. Thank you, Jim. So not every day that somebody walks through the front door and brings me bacon. I like that. I like you always come bearing gifts of bacon. You're always welcome in my studio, for sure. All right, 12:57. Coming up next hour, Abe Harper from Harper Technologies joins us. We'll talk to him about these latest cyber attacks out there. A couple other notes here. Let's see. The Moss vote. We asked this yesterday because they had not. The news was not out before we wrapped up Midday Mobile. They did vote to approve that rate hike plan with Mobile Area Water and Sewer System. They voted 6-1 yesterday. And remember, here's how the board that makes this decision. They have appointees from each of the city council districts. So there'd be seven board members. 6-1, the vote yesterday in favor to increase rates. Next year, the average household family of four is going to pay $2.91 more each month. Then in 2021, rates go up 6.5%, then 4% increase in each of the next 2 years. Sewage rates would go up each year as well, because remember, it's kind of a split deal. There's water and there's sewage. That's why you get an irrigation well, right? That's why you get that other pump for like doing yard stuff, because one of the big costs is not just the water. Actually, that's the lesser. Dealing with the sewage, it costs more. They're going to use that money, I guess. I don't think it's specifically earmarked, but they are working on infrastructure problems that have led to sewage spills over the decades. And so I guess some of that money goes into dealing with that. All right, 12:58. News is next, and we'll be right back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5, and online at fmtalk1065.com.